both from the New Testament, from the book of Colossians, which is about three quarters of the way through the New Testament. We've got the Gospels, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. It's not very big, but there's not much of it left either at Colossae. There's one stone left of Colossae. Go to Ephesus, you've got this great big huge city. You go to Colossae, there's one stone you've got to look hard under the wheat. Oh, sorry. Anyway, Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. And if you turn over to Colossians chapter 4, and beginning at verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone.
Thanks, Denise. G'day, everyone. Lovely to see you. Great to be here. What better thing to do on a cool winter's morning, but glorious day awaits us. I'm going to pray as we come to God's wonderful word. Will you pray with me? God, our Father, you are the mighty, powerful God. And so often it is through your word that you express your power as your Spirit takes your word and does mighty things. And Father, even this morning we pray that you will take your word and by your Spirit plant it on our hearts. Please make us your children and transform us in the likeness of your Son. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one of our members, Tim Owers, he goes along to our church at 5, he's gone down to the local beach. He went down to Terrigal Haven for me and took some photos. He's put together as a video for you. And what I want you to do is I want you to watch this video. There's no sound, so you're not going deaf if you can't hear anything. But I want you to watch the video and think about what's trying to be communicated in the video. So here it is. Have a watch. All right, there it is. So what I want you to do is have a quick word to the person next to you. And if you're here for the first time, I'm really sorry because that's probably really left field. But see if you can work out what is trying to be communicated in that little video. Have a quick conversation. Okay, you happy? You got it all sorted out? Well, how about I give you my explanation and then you can see whether that sort of matches with what you were thinking. So we'll just show it again. So what's going on? We've got a whole bunch of people in our community and our great desire is that they would come to know Jesus. We want them to be engaged with the gospel of Jesus so that they might start the Christian life and know forgiveness and eternal life and hope. But we don't want it to end there, so we don't want people to then wander around aimlessly as Christians. We want them to connect into fellowship with God's people so that they might grow in knowledge and love of God and joy and hope, and that will express itself in a life of loving service. And do you know why those footprints got sort of... Carrying the load. That's what we're to do, is to bear one another's burdens. So as we go on and mature, we actually not just carry our own load, but we carry the burdens of one another. So that's really what we want to see happening amongst us, is God doing those things. But I just want you to have a look at this summary here. And I want you to think, where would you place yourself on that journey? If your life was a journey along a beach from left-hand side to right-hand side, that's the direction that we want you to travel. Where would you place yourself on that journey? So you might be here and you say, well, I'm not a Christian and I'm not even interested in any of this stuff. You might say, I'm right off the edge on the left-hand side. It's great to have you here. Or you might say, oh, I don't feel like I'm a Christian, but I'm interested, I'm engaging with ideas. Or maybe you've just started the Christian life, or none of us are off the right-hand side here, right? Okay, so we're all a work in progress. But where would you put yourself on the beach? Just have a bit of a think. Commit to something in your mind. Which footprint do you identify with on the beach? Now, here's another question. Can you think of people that God has used to help you on the journey? Right? Who has God used to help you on the journey as step by step you grow in the Christian life? And it doesn't matter wherever you're at. Even if you're right on the left-hand side there, has God used anyone in your life to move you towards relationship with God? So it could be someone over a long period of time, or it could be just little people that come in and out of your life. But if you're comfortable to share that with the person next to you, why don't you just have a quick chat about it? Otherwise, just think of it in your own mind. But can you think of specific people that God has used to help you on your journey? Quick word. And who comes to mind? Let me tell you, that's a very good exercise to do. So I know I've cut your conversations short a little bit, but I've been thinking a lot about that question this week, and I've found it really encouraging. It didn't take me long to think of dozens of people. If I had have spent enough time, I would have thought of hundreds. But it's really it's actually really encouraging to actually see, oh yeah, God has used so many people. Because often we focus on the negative interactions and not see the blessings. Now, there's my questions, but there's a problem with that picture, isn't there? Who can tell me the problem with that picture that's up there on the screen? It's got a major flaw in it. And if you've been here for the last few months, it ought to be just immediately obvious. Only one set of footprints? Oh, that's probably your second problem, Thomas. Well, let's not tear the whole thing apart. Yeah, but that's a good point. So the whole idea of it's a journey we do in fellowship, wow. Yeah, so that's a really major problem, but that's not the major problem that I was thinking of.
Our footprints are in rock, not sand.
Our footprints are in rock, not sand. Oh, I hadn't... Oh, right, okay, build on the rock, not on the sand. Look... My whole idea is it's coming crashing down. What's that? Dramatic change. This is it. It's actually far starker a picture than that. So let's see what it's more like. It's not so much like that, but like that. And it's even starker than that. It doesn't feel like it from our perspective, but when you read God's Word... God's word actually opens up realities to us where there's these two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and Satan and lies and the kingdom of light. And it's not like a gradual journey, but it's like a stark transfer where God comes and grabs us out of our slavery in one kingdom and rescues us into his kingdom. So have a look, open up your Bible at Colossians chapter 1. Because this is what we've been grappling with over the last few months. The revolution that God is bringing into our world. We need God's word to open our eyes to it because so often we just think life is about a step-by-step process. But there's a dramatic beginning to the Christian life, even if it doesn't feel like it from our perspective. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. It says, For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Right? The Christian life is not only a step-by-step journey. There is a radical transfer from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. So that word transfer up there. And it involves forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life. We become citizens of heaven. This is the thing that once you catch hold of it, it is just so wonderful. And we sing the song, how marvelous, how wonderful. Is what God has done for us in rescuing us through the Lord Jesus. And this is what puts it on our heart to want that for other people as well. So being transferred into God's kingdom takes a moment, right? When you put your faith in Jesus. But then once you enter God's kingdom, there's a process that then lasts for a lifetime. And that is being transformed into the likeness of the Lord Jesus. Now, some of us here this morning have been in God's kingdom for decades, been Christians for decades, and yet we've still got so far to go, right? And we know that it will never be complete until Jesus returns, and then we will be like him. But right now, what God is doing for his people is transforming us into the likeness of his son, Jesus. Right? That's what God is doing in our world. That's God's revolution. Right? Taking rebellious sinners who have been captive in darkness, transferring us into his kingdom, and then transforming us bit by bit in the likeness of the Lord Jesus. Now, the question this morning is, how is God doing that? And this is the extraordinary thing, is that God chooses to use people like us. And I'm not just talking about people like me, I'm talking about all of us. God chooses to use us. See, God could do his purposes however he wants. Right? He could just say, right, bang, it's happened, and it happens. But he actually chooses to involve us in working out his purposes. He calls on us to get involved, to help others be transferred and transformed. And I want to summarise what's going on just by three words that all begin with P. Right? I don't do this very often, but you know, today you get three words all beginning with P. What part do we play? Firstly, is the word proclamation. So you read the Gospels. You know, if you pick up the Bible and you read the New Testament and you read Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, you realise that by the end of Jesus' life, when he dies, he rises again, he ascends into heaven, at that point, Christianity is very small. There's this little small band of disciples who are following Jesus, but it doesn't look very impressive. And yet over the next few years and over the next few decades, there will be this phenomenal growth in Christianity. Thousands and thousands of people, so that this worldwide movement begins. So you see it in the book of Acts. I'll get a few references on the screen. So Acts chapter 6 verse 7. You get these little markers throughout the book of Acts. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Acts chapter 12. But the word of God continued to spread and flourish. Acts chapter 19 verse 20. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. And you get this sense that the word of God is this powerful force that really swept through the whole ancient world and gathered people into God's kingdom. And it's because the word of God is not just the words of a man, it's the words of God empowered by God's Holy Spirit, which is able to do mighty things, conquering empires, powerfully transferring people into his kingdom. But God does that powerful work through ordinary people like us. As ordinary people like us share the message of Jesus, share our own experience of what Jesus has done for us, you know, you look around, and I've got to be honest, we're a pretty ordinary looking bunch. Right? And I'm not having a go at you. I think that's God delights to use ordinary people for his extraordinary purposes, because the power is not in us. The power is with God and his word and his spirit powerfully using his word. So God unleashes his mighty power as the message of Jesus is proclaimed by ordinary people. And that goes hand in hand with prayer. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul says, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honoured, just as it was with you. Right? This is what God is doing in our world, and Paul is saying, pray, plead with God that he will continue to do it. We believe God empowers his word by his Holy Spirit. That is the powerful force at work. It's not about some engaging personality. You know, it's not, oh, how funny is, you know, that person who speaks the word of God, or how clever are they in the things they say. It's about how powerful is God's word when it is accompanied by God's Spirit to accomplish great things. And so we pray, God, please work powerfully by your word. And he delights to do it. Or Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. The Apostle Paul says, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Great verses, because sometimes, do you ever get the feeling like, oh, I'm such a wimp at sharing stuff about Jesus, and other people just seem to be so fearless. And, you know, and I think, oh, I don't want to cause offence. And so we're tempted to pull back and just let the bold people get out there and do it. But the boldest guy I know of is the Apostle Paul, and yet one of his most common prayer requests was, please pray for me that I may do it fearlessly. Now, why do you have to keep asking people to pray that? It's because you are tempted to pull back. It's because you're tempted just to soften the blow, to hold back on the message, because you know that it has not only the power to save, but also the potential to offend. And the temptation is, oh, I'm just going to pull back. Paul says, no, it's too important that it gets out there. Pray that I may proclaim it fearlessly and boldly. Right? So, proclamation, prayer, and thirdly, God uses people. People who are speaking the message, people who are praying for God to act. He uses ordinary people just like you and me. And that's what he's been doing throughout history. So if you're part of God's kingdom, don't sort of think that somehow it's just for the other people to do it. Right? He uses all of us to bring about his mighty purposes. And God doesn't just use us to transfer people into his kingdom. God uses us to transform people in the likeness of Jesus. So, come over to Acts chapter 20, verse 32. This is where Paul is having his final time with the Christians of Ephesus. And he says, now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Now, the idea is that the word of God is not only what transfers us into his kingdom, it's that same word of God that transforms us in the likeness of Jesus. So, we never, no matter who you're hanging out with, the word of God is what they need, whether they realize it or not. Right? It's what's going to transfer them into God's kingdom and transform them into the likeness of Jesus, step by step. Or Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. This is a great message for us. Let the message of Christ, Colossians 3:16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Really good passage to have in mind when you come to church, because you can come to church and think, oh, we'll go and listen to Dave, you know, rabbit on, yeah, however you want to put it. No, we can go and listen to Dave as he teaches us the wonderful word of God, right? That's a better way of thinking about it. But it's not just about that. Right? It's all of us will be doing it. So, you know, morning tea after church, let the word of Christ dwell in us richly as we actually point people to the things we've been hearing in the word of God and learning. And even as we sing, right, what it's saying is, as you teach and admonish one another through psalms, hymns and songs of the Spirit. As we sing, we're not just singing to God. Yes, we are praising God's name and how great is he. But we're teaching one another. So I don't want to see any half-hearted singing, right, amongst you. I want you to sing as those who are singing to God and teaching one another. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you do that. But it's not just proclamation, it's also prayer. Prayer that God would transform each one of us. Look at the prayer that Paul prays in Colossians chapter 1. This is the sort of prayer, if you think, I don't know what to pray for that other Christian friend of mine, just grab this prayer and pray it. It's a really good standby prayer. Paul says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. It's a prayer about transformation. All right? The bottom line of the prayer is Paul's saying, I want you guys to live a life worthy of God, to bear fruit, to be growing. But what is the key thing that he prays? Right? He wants transformation, but what is the key request that he brings to God? Transformation's the goal. Yeah, so it's up there. The second sentence, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom that comes from the Spirit. Because if God would only fill us all with the knowledge of his will, then we will live lives worthy of the Lord and bear fruit and grow. So what we need is to be filled with the knowledge of his will. How do we do that? Well, the rest of Colossians makes it really clear. It says we teach one another the word of God and ask that God would apply it to our hearts by his Spirit. So proclamation and prayer go hand in hand, and people. This is about ordinary people speaking to ordinary people. Ordinary people praying for other ordinary people. It's not just about paid ministers of the gospel doing this work. It's about all of us. So Romans chapter 15, verse 14. Paul says, I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. We can do this with one another. We are instructed to do it with one another. God wants to use each one of us. So at the start, let's go back to the picture I had up at the start, which we had many faults with. Thank you for that. But I asked the question, where are you on the journey? Where would you put yourself on the beach? And I firstly want to say, if you're on the left-hand side, you know, you might think, oh, I'm not a Christian, but I'm certainly open to it. I'm interested. I'm engaging with Christian ideas. You know, I'm searching for peace. I'm searching for meaning and relationship with God. If that's where you're at, you're in a great place. And God wants to move you on in your journey. And God will use people in your life to do that. And one of the things you can do is actually think, is there someone in my life that God might use to do that? And it could even be that you go up to them. You know, they might be a Christian that you look up to. And you go up to them and say, hey, I'm only starting on this journey. Can you help me? If anyone came up to a mature Christian and said that, it would be an utter delight. We'd love to help one another on in the journey. So if you can think of someone, why don't you initiate that conversation this morning and say, hey, I'm starting out. Can you help me? Or if you can't think of anyone, come and talk to me. And I'm sure we can line you up with someone who God will use to help you in your journey. So please let us help you in that way, because that's the way God will help you on the journey. Now, the second question I asked was, who has God used to help you on the journey? And as I said, as I've been preparing this talk, I've been thinking a lot about that question, and I found it really encouraging. This may surprise you, but every week I have difficult conversations. Every week of my life. All right? Every week of my life I'll have conversations, and I don't think it's just about me and my personality. You know, there might be some of that in play. But every week I have conversations that don't go well and that leave me feeling discouraged, and demotivated, and feeling let down, and you know, or conflict, or whatever it is. And so often, I'm tempted to dwell on those conversations, and it can feel like there's a gloom, you know, and it's, do you know what I'm sort of talking about? And you can, it's so easy, even if those conversations only represent 5% or 1% of the conversations you have in a week, that can just dominate the way you feel about things. But this week I've been thinking about the people that God has used in a positive way throughout my life. And as I said, I thought of dozens really quickly, and I'm sure if I applied my mind to it, there'd be hundreds. You know, start with my parents and my brother and sister and my wife and my children, even my kids are a great encouragement to me, and my youth leaders and my Sunday school teachers, and you know, you guys, and just keeps adding up, and you go, wow, God has been very generous to me in giving me people. And sometimes it's just a single conversation. I can remember 25 years ago when I first started going out with Ruth, just a mature godly Christian guy who I hardly knew came up to me and he said, you know, my wife and I are praying for you and Ruth in your relationship and in your lives. And I just thought, that is just extraordinary. This guy who hardly knows me is praying for Ruth and I. He's actually lovingly concerned for our relationship and our future. And I was just so blown away and encouraged by that. And I probably haven't hardly talked to him since. But it's just a really, you know, a timely way that God just used another person to build me up. Even this week, right, because it's been going around in my head. This week, my mum comes along, drops into house, and we have a cuppa. And she just tells me about what's going on in Scripture and just how passionate she is about teaching kids about Jesus. It just spurred me on, you know, for the rest of the day. And then even my son, right, what happened on Monday morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, I get up and his light's on. And it's like, and so I go in and this is Micah, 15-year-old son, and I say, what's going on? Can't you sleep? And he's there reading the Bible. And it's like, oh. And his example was a really, and so I thought, yeah, I should be doing that, because too often the day just dominates and good things like reading the Bible and praying get cut out. So the next morning, you know, I was up there, 6:30 I got up, but and reading the Bible. And do you know the interesting thing is my son Daniel saw me the next day, and then the following day I get up, and there's he reading the Bible. And I'm not saying this is a house of godliness forever, but gee, that's been a positive, you know, thing. Let me tell you another thing about Micah this week, right? So my 15-year-old son, he comes home from school and he's buzzing, and he says, oh, I'm getting my non-Christian mates to read the Bible. And it's like, you know, how are you managing to do that? He said, what he does is in English at school, you have to read a book, right? So you have to bring a book along and there's 20 minutes of compulsory reading time. And he says, half the time they forget to bring a book, so I just hand them the Bible and they read it. When you start to be aware and looking out, you actually say, wow, how good is God putting people in my life to help me on the journey? That's what he does. And that's why fellowship is so important, because God wants to use all of us to help all of us as we move on in the journey. So that's why, Thomas, your point is very helpful. There should be a myriad of footprints, you know, all charging in there. Oh, Matt, you were telling just, you've got Simeon. Oh, there you go. Judah. I'm going to ask Matt a couple. Are you going to come over here? Yeah. Now, because I was talking with Matt about this just yesterday, and you were saying even here in church there's been a couple of blokes that God has used. Yep. You know?
Yeah. Just tell us.
Tell us about Johnny Beeman to start with.
Yeah. Is he in here? I bet. No. Oh, he's over there. I think I said... there was a point where things weren't going so great in my life, and And I remember one Sunday we have quarterly get-togethers on Brush Road, and they're just the Brush Road parties. And I was having a particularly difficult time, and John had just said in passing, as people do, how are you going? And instead of being my usual thing of, oh, yeah, I'm going well, I actually said, things are pretty terrible. And he must have seen in my eyes, I suppose, or in what I said, a truth to that. And his honest reply was, it's great that God's got everything in control. And to me, that was just the sure way that he said that. Mm. And the loving way that he said that, to come from another bloke, was, I thought, wow, I want some of that surety. I want to know God's got in control. Because at the time, I didn't think he did. Yeah. I was trying to get in control. So it really taught me to have faith in God and God's plans. Yeah.
And that was a trigger for you then, hooking in with a Bible study?
Yeah, so then I started attending Bible study here. So that was about 6 years ago, I think. And another John Eves, was really loving in the way that he kindly walked next to me. Knowing the tradition I'd come from, he wasn't confrontational about that, but rather just kindly turning me back to the Word of God and using passages that probably encouraged where I was at and actually built me up from where I was, as opposed to saying, well, this is where you need to be. Because there were some passages there that could have probably convicted me pretty big time, but he didn't do that, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. Good on you, Brad. And look, I could go around and we could hear dozens of testimonies. And wouldn't it be an encouraging time? It would be good, but we won't, right? Morning tea is the time when you can have a dozen encouraging testimonies of people that God has brought into our lives for a short time or a long time to help us in the journey. The final thing I want to say is, how can I help others on the journey? Because as we look back, we say, God has used so many other people in my life, but one of the things he wants us to deliberately consider is, how can I help others on the journey? And he wants us to make that a lifestyle. I haven't talked to John about that Brush Road. He's disappeared out the door. He's going to get morning tea, right? He's not ignoring us. But I haven't talked to John about that conversation he had with Matt. I don't know how he was just probably there for a chat that day, but just taking the opportunity to genuinely speak into Matt's life. And so here's the question: how can I help others on the journey? And it doesn't matter where people are on the journey, right? God can use me in speaking his word. It could be a simple conversation after church or at a street barbecue, praying for the next door neighbour. They may never know that you're praying for them, but you know that God powerfully works through your prayers. Showing love and kindness to the person you bump into at the supermarket. Every day, God brings us into contact with lots of people. And every time we bump into someone, it is an opportunity to be a blessing from God. To show love. Perhaps, if the opportunity, to speak God's word into their lives. To pray for them. That is how God... Right? Just such ordinary things, aren't they? And they seem so incidental that sometimes we miss the opportunity and we just busy ourselves and rush through life. But God uses ordinary people in ordinary situations to bring about his extraordinary purposes. Right? And I don't want you to be deceived, right? There's an ordinariness to us. As soon as we start praying and speaking God's word, there is a power that is unleashed, right? And it's a power because it comes from the God we know and love, working mightily through his word by his spirit to accomplish his purposes. As he transfers people into his kingdom and transforms them in the likeness of Jesus. I'm going to lead us in prayer. That we will be people that God uses in that way. Will you pray with me? God, our Father, we do thank you that you have these wonderful purposes for our world and for each one of us, that you want to rescue us from darkness and from meaninglessness and from sin, and you want to bring us into your kingdom with all the privileges that come with that, with forgiveness and hope of eternal life and confidence in the future. So, Father, we pray for any here who have not known that transfer, who do not know forgiveness and hope and certainty. We do pray that you will plant your word in their hearts even this morning, and that perhaps even you will use some of us this morning in spurring them on in that journey, in finding out more. Father, we want to thank you for the many people that you have brought into each one of our lives. We're sorry that so often we just focus on the negatives and we grumble and complain and we fail to see the wonderful things that you are doing. And sometimes we cut ourselves off from the very fellowship that you are providing to help us and sustain us and grow us. And so, Father, we are thankful for all that you've done and the people that you've brought into our lives. And we pray that you will use each one of us, our prayers, our words, our example, our love. We pray that you will use us to help others come into your kingdom and grow in the likeness of Jesus. And we pray it in his name. Amen.